Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC. And I got to tell you, friends, today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers can be difficult, but Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably, and they have the platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io or click the link in the show notes to learn more. All right, so today we have with us a founder that I have been wanting to talk to for a while. She has a really, really interesting sensory experience kind of business, and she's an Innovate Her KC member. We have with us today Victoria Campbell Osborne, founder and owner of The Scented Web. Victoria, thanks so much for being here on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. So excited to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be really, really fun. But first things first, I'm just going to ask the question. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
My journey as an entrepreneur started really early on. My very first job, a lot of people had jobs at like McDonald's or, you know, some other kind of establishment that has a plastic name tag and a hairnet. Mine started out working for entrepreneurs. I lived in an area where, you know, dating myself a little bit, Blockbuster would not open a store. And so a local couple decided to open a video store to serve the people in my neighborhood. And so that was my very first job. I got to experience the very David and Goliath nature of that enterprise. And I think the bug just stuck.
Well, that's incredible. And from what I know of your history, I know that that is not the first time you have served as an entrepreneur. And you have kind of an interesting background in that you've tried a lot of different things. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So yeah, I grew up in a family of people who were always hard workers. And so I've always had multiple jobs. And so those hats have been very varied. I served as an educator. I also worked as a Capitol Hill as a lobbyist. I worked as a museum manager. I have worked as a consultant for the past 15 years, as well as I'm a certified yoga instructor. I do a little bit of everything.
You do a little bit of everything. And, you know, I have found that to be true so often with entrepreneurs. And I think it's because by nature, we're very curious people. We're problem solvers and we're curious. So do you feel like you're a curious person? Is that why you wanted to try a whole bunch of new things?
I think part of it is the curiosity, but I also think part of it is the nature of how entrepreneurs tend to engage with things. I think we are the build the better mousetrap people. You start out doing something with the intention of it just being, oh, I'm just going to do this as a project. And then, you know, 5 years later, you look up and you have a whole company behind it. I feel like a lot of the things that we get involved in start with our curiosity, but our tenacity kind of takes it to the next level.
I love that so much. And I would wholeheartedly agree. So talk to us a little bit about the Scented Web, because I'm very interested in your business model. And then I know, you know, we've talked before about scent and scent memory and things like that. So talk to us about what moved you to start the Scented Web and a little bit about what you do.
So, you know, I used to joke when I first started that I was my best first customer. I love fragrances. And I think one of the things that we can universally agree upon is that it can be overwhelming to go into a store and try to figure out what fragrance to buy. It can also be very expensive. And so during COVID, one of the things that became abundantly clear, especially as everything was closed, was the prices weren't changing, but the access to them was. It was becoming a thing where you were expected to buy a $400, $500 bottle of perfume that you had never put your nose to. And so it just struck me that that can't possibly be true. That can't possibly be the way. There must be someone out there who is providing accessible, affordable options to luxury fragrances. And, you know, without expecting, you know, a monumental financial commitment. And, you know, in the best ways of most entrepreneurs, you go out searching for an answer and find out that you are the answer. And so that's how it started.
Well, I love that. And I love the fact that you're so aware you are the answer. I mean, you're answering an industry need. And I got to tell you, I don't know too many people who can invest $400, $500 in what amounts to a couple ounces of fragrance. Like, it's not even that much fragrance when you get up into the, like, the more expensive thing.
It is 3.3 ounces. It is.
Yeah.
It's like when you say it out loud, people just can't believe it. I'm like, yes, the pretty bottles only hold 3 ounces or less in some cases.
How many people do you know that would be able to just do that sight unseen? Or, like, unsmelled.
Scent unsmelled. You know, there's a lot of people who do what we call blind buying, who buy based on other people's recommendations, buy based on what they heard on TikTok, buy based on the lady at the counter said it would be nice. I think a lot of people, though, to the contrary, feel burned by it. They bought bottles that just sit on their dressers collecting dust. They buy bottles that they get home and they hate. Or, you know, the one that I think I speak the most to when I talk to people at our shows is they buy bottles that they really didn't know what they were getting into, because what they smelled at the store didn't smell the same as what they got at home. And there's a reason for that. But, you know, you don't know that when you buy the bottle. And so ultimately, the ability to buy a travel size sample gives people that out. Like, you're getting it for under $35. You can figure out whether you really like it or not. And if you want to really make that investment, there's 8,000 brands on the market. You can't possibly try them all, but you also don't want to commit to the ones that you don't really like. So.
Right. Because it is an investment. Yes. And I want to talk, before we start exploring the business model, I actually want to talk a little bit about the why it's such an important thing. So one of the things that you and I have talked about at least a couple of times is signature scents and the fact that, so just for folks who might not know, scent is actually our most prominent, sense that's related to memory. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but for whatever reason, our brains detect and then are able to, like, get into filing cabinets in our head related to scent memory.
Yes.
And I think I told you one time, you know, my I think about this a lot. So my grandma, she used to wear this Oscar de la Renta body powder. This is when women of a generation used to wear talcum powder all over. And I'm going to be honest, she probably used a little bit too much, but it was this scent that was just so pervasive to my memory of her. Like, I would just remember getting a hug from her, and she was very, you know, she was a bigger bosomed lady, and she would give you a hug and she would just envelop you. She gave the best hugs. And the scent was always not far behind. Like I can smell it right now as I'm talking about it.
Right.
And that's so powerful to people. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because I know that you have some feelings on the subject.
I do. I mean, I think one of the things that, you know, like you said, it is one of our most powerful senses. And it also is one of those things that it's beyond visceral in the ways that we relate scent to things that have happened to us. So you're remembering it directly tied to your grandmother. And if I came in the room wearing that scent, you would immediately see her and feel her and hear her because of the scent memory you have tied to it. You know, it's not always perfume. For some people, it's, you know, the first time you saw the ocean, you can remember the smell of the sea spray. Or if someone's baking fresh baked cookies, you automatically are drawn back to some memory of cookies in your life. We all have those scent memories.
Yeah.
And we also have scent profiles. There are things that we, because of those things being so visceral to us, there are things that some of us like and some of us don't. And there's really no convincing. Like if someone hates the smell of fresh cut grass, they just hate the smell of fresh cut grass. Yeah. There's no convincing them. And so when you think about those two things, it's the reason that buying fragrances are so personal.
Yeah.
It's really a thing where you can't predict what someone will like or not like until you have that conversation with them. And it's funny when you think about how you buy fragrances at the department store, they're selling them the way they sell clothes. Oh, well, what color would you like? Well, what scent do you think you would like? Okay, well, we'll sell you that. Maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. I think one of the things that's been a benefit of our business is we spend so much time talking to people about what they really like and don't like. And that's, you know, that's kind of our differentiator. Like having that conversation about scent memory typically gives us higher satisfaction with people. They walk away feeling like they got what they really wanted.
Yeah. Well, and I do have a fun fact about scent. Yes. And this is just something that I read like many, many years ago, could not tell you where, so you're going to have to take my word for it, but they've done some studies. They have actually found that men tend to prefer food-based scents.
Yes, they do.
And so I'm not saying scents that like smell like, you know, chocolate chip cookies, but I'm saying that scents that have underlying notes of food-based recognition.
They do.
Notes of vanilla I'm trying to think of some other ones. Like, what are some other sugar?
Vanilla, sugar. they have a real, I mean, I jokingly tell people who come to my counter this a lot. Men tend to favor, again, dating myself. If you think of like those Bonnie Bell lip glosses we used to use, all of those types, like that is what they like. And they cannot get enough of it. The sweeter, the more gourmand, the better. And no matter how much it costs, there are like $600 perfumes that smell like vanilla that turn heads. And a lot of that is preference. It's the way they were, you know, we're talking about scent memory. So if you think about the way that people came into their attractions to the people that they like or find attractive back when they thought about people and what they, you know, like started to figure out, these are the kinds of people I want to date. Those scent memories are still there. What did your ideal person have? Oh, they smelled like vanilla and cream and you know, had like strawberry blonde hair. Oh my God, that's the person. And so it translates as an adult.
And it's really true. Like the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Kind of true.
It is.
And you know, the thing that it's hilarious that you say that, because I was talking to another fragrance expert a little while ago, and he was saying how much there's a fragrance that's out that smells like apples, and he loves when his wife wears it. So that's the reason I'm laughing, because I'm like, yep, I got like corporate experience and anecdotal experience that
we've got the qualitative and the quantitative. Yeah. So we actually have a marshmallow candle that like my husband, he goes nuts for. Like anytime I light it, he comes into the room and he's like, you got my candle. And then he puts his like face right up to it and sniffs at it. It's adorable.
And there, and there's a marshmallow fragrance that came out a couple of months ago that is marshmallows and pistachio, and men cannot get enough of
it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that so much. Well, yeah. So let's explore that just a little bit more. So one of the things that you mentioned that I thought was interesting is, you know, sometimes you go out to a store and you buy a fragrance and it's when you bring it home, the remembrance is a little different from the actuality. Like it doesn't smell quite the same. It doesn't last quite as long. Talk to us a little bit about that. Maybe a little bit about how you help people find their signature scent as well.
So the first part about why the scents don't smell the way they do at the store has a lot to do with storage and display. We go to department stores and we want to see the bottles. We want to see the fragrances that we're getting into and we want to try them out. But if you like literally close your eyes and think about how fragrance is stored at a department store, it's stored under bright lights. It's stored typically with the caps off. It's typically stored there for a pretty long time because they leave the testers out until they're empty. So they are going against like the first three rules of how you store your fragrance. You try to store it in cool, dark places. You try to store it with the caps on, preferably in the box if you're not even using it right now. And literally you store it in a way that tries to prevent it from further oxidation. So, you know, you want to keep the cap on it so that air isn't getting back in the bottle. And so as a result, the tester is usually the source and the culprit of why it doesn't smell like you smelled it at the store, because the box is fresh. The box you took home is being stored properly, but the box, the sample that's on the wall probably isn't. And so there's the first part where it doesn't smell the same. The second is that most people, when they try at the store, because they're in such a rush, they try it on paper. How it smells on paper is going to smell fundamentally different than how it smells on your skin. And so ultimately, when people try it on paper and then get it home and try it on their skin, it's going to smell different. It's, you know, just the nature of body chemistry. And so those two things are usually what leads to the most dissatisfaction, especially because now the bottle's in your house. And so
it's too late.
And so what we do as a model is when people come to our table, we usually carry at least 100 different fragrances for them to try, usually about closer to 150. And we have them try the fragrances similarly to the way that they do in the store. But, you know, thing number one we do is we keep very limited testers, meaning we keep a very small sample in our tester bottles so that we constantly refresh that. So it really does reflect what you're actually going to buy.
Yeah.
The second thing we do is we do test it on paper. But if you have more than 15 minutes, like, for instance, if we're at a show for 5 hours, we will fully let someone, if they've committed to a scent, spray it on the back of their hand and walk around wherever we are and then come back, because then they have the ability to see what it does on their body as opposed to me telling you, oh my God, it's great, you should just buy that.
So one of the things that I think is important to highlight here is the fact that yet another factor in how scents actually work with your body, it's related to your body chemistry.
Yes.
Like I could spray scent on my wrist and you could spray the same scent on your wrist and it's going to react with our body's chemistry a little differently.
Yes.
And so it's going to come through a little differently. And so that's actually why, and you're the expert, but I've heard that the testers, like folks who are there to like put the tester on you, they recommend that you spray it. And then, like you wait at least a few minutes so that it can kind of seep in and do its thing.
Yeah.
Because your body chemistry has a big effect on exactly how acidic or how, basic different scents smell, right?
Yeah. And a part of that is the limitation of what can happen typically at most department stores. The challenge is going to be, again, people have the mindset of, I want to get in, I want to get out. That's not what I'm really here to do. If you spray it and it's not in the context of your life. So I'll give you an example. One of the other complaints is it didn't last long. It smelled like it was going to be so great at the store and then it only lasted an hour. A lot of that has to do not only with your body chemistry, but how and where you spray it. Like application also matters. So it becomes a thing if you only spray it and test it on the back of your hand for 5 minutes in the store, is that going to be an accurate reflection of what it might look like for 6 hours at your workplace? Not necessarily. And so having conversations about how to apply it, having conversations about how to really test it, become critical. And it's one of the best parts of my business. But as an entrepreneur, it's sometimes one of the things that I do really struggle with. Like, we really have great conversations and consultations, but that conversion time is high because we're taking the time to help people get fragrances that they really, really, really will love.
Yeah. Well, and so yet another thing that you and I have talked about is like our personal signature scents. And so I think I've expressed to you that like one of my hopes, I actually wear the same. I recently switched, but that was actually a big decision for me because I try to wear the same scent consistently because I do want people to like catch a whiff of something and think, oh, that's foreign, you know? Right. Because again, scent memory is so important. Like I know so many individuals, but in particular women, who love to have that signature, that scent that they go to time and time again, where they feel comfortable and they feel not only comfortable, but they feel like it projects who they are and what they're about. Right. And I love that because in a world where we are inundated with people and ideas and content, like finding ways to stand out and ways to feel unique and confident in our own skin, that's an amazing, powerful thing, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, that confidence, you know, fragrances not only have scent memory, but they have activation memory, right? Like they have the ability to transport you to places, definitely. Like you thinking about your grandmother.
Yeah.
But they have the ability to transform you, like literally make you feel like more of a boss when you wear them or make you feel more sexy when you put them. They also have this really innate ability to help people transcend things. Like people will put on a scent. It's just like putting on a black dress, you know, or a red dress. It's like people put it on and it helps them get over like feelings of insecurity or fear or doubt. And so that's one of the reasons that finding your signature scent is so important. It literally is the thing that you're saying, when I put it on, this is me. And so for a lot of people, that process gets complicated when they go to the store and there's nobody to talk to, or the price is $500, or they get a tester that doesn't smell like what they want. And so when I talk to people about signature scents, we really do start off, I mean, you know, I hate to say it this way, but we really do start off with a trauma. Like, what were experiences with fragrances you really didn't like? Like, what are some things you really hated? And then tell me the time that you thought you smelled the absolute best. And usually when you ask that question, the answer goes so far beyond the brand. It usually has a story attached. You know, 9 times out of 10, there's a person attached. People will tell you these stories about how this fragrance made them feel. I know you have, like, you want that one scent. But for me, I go at it maybe a different way. And it's probably because I'm in the business. I try to just smell spectacular whenever I walk into a room. Like, people,
and you do. Like, for our listeners at home, we don't have smell-o-vision yet or anything like that, but I will tell you from firsthand experience that Victoria always smells magnificent when we run into each other. Yeah. Like, I always feel weird because I want to come up to you and I just want to sniff you.
And so a lot of that is, you know, partially, you know, in my line of work, but a lot of it is I am really, truly committed to, you know, there's scents that I definitely love. I definitely have my own signature, but there are ones that I am committed to believing that anything can truly make you feel that way. Anything can give you that power if you mentally believe that it can. Like, I literally don't, like, you know, there are people who have written off whole notes because they've smelled it and it has, you know, been like, oh, I can't possibly wear anything that smells like amber because every time I smell amber, it just, you know, makes me think of, you know, old women and garbage chutes or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so literally, you know, when you start talking about it, you start realizing that there's other things that factor into that. And so it becomes a real conversation of, you know, us really getting, you know, out of our own way about our own comfort in things. Oh, I don't wear that because they said that that wouldn't work on, you know, women like me, or that seems too bold for me. That's the one I really love, when women say, it seems too bold for me. Why does it seem too bold for you? Is it because that someone said that, you know, they could smell you coming across the room? Well, we can change that. I can help you change your scent bubble.
Yeah.
So it's not so big. Or that one, I really like it, but it's a little too light. Okay, well, we can change that. We can find something that has a little more oomph behind it that has the same notes. Like, literally, it's a conversation, just like picking out that dress that helps people kind of find their way into it.
Well, and I love that. And one of the things that we're talking about here is how we can express confidence around things. You even said it, like, what are the things that can give you power? And friends, I got to tell you that one of the things I hear from entrepreneurs so often is how difficult it is to build a team, especially a tech team. But here's the deal. Finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit fullscale.io, where you can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. We are here today with Victoria Campbell Osborne, founder and owner of The Scented Web. And we've spent some time talking about the importance of scent and how scent memory is really important. And we've talked about all of these things. But one of the things that I really, really want to get into with you, Victoria, is the fact that you're a relatively new entrepreneur, at least in this venture. I mean, as you said, you've kind of been entrepreneurial your whole life and you've kind of dipped into different things and tried different things. But I want to ask you, why The Scented Web and why now from a business perspective?
From a business perspective, I think it was a twofold decision. The first was really driven by accessibility and affordability. Fragrance is a almost approaching $70 billion industry. And it's one that really has so little Black and brown representation in it, both on the ownership side and the maker side. And so that was one part of it. But the why now was also a conversation of, it just struck me as, you know, kind of insane that there was no real way to try something out before making an investment. You know, I jokingly say, if you were going to, you know, you get married, you're going to date the person first, right? You're not going to just marry them. And so I tell people all the time, you know, date the sample, marry the bottle, right? Like it was really a conversation of providing that opportunity and that option to people. People really didn't. And by people, I mean me as a consumer, as a lover, as a person who genuinely enjoys fragrance. It was really hard to realize that there were just so many things that I wouldn't have access to because no one felt that there was a reason to give it to me affordably or to show me makers outside of the names that everybody knows. Like, you know, if I say Chanel or if I say Burberry, people already have feelings and, you know, probably scent memories associated to it. But there are amazing brands from other parts of the world that people just never get access to. And so similarly to my yoga stuff, I approached it from a standpoint of, how can I make this something everybody can have access to? And so it was a no-brainer. This is an easy way to do that. The now, I think after COVID, a lot of people started, or during COVID, people started thinking about, you know, what, like, how to solve things. Like, we had a whole lot of time to think about how to solve things. And we also had a whole lot of time to think about where our passion lies and what we do. You know, as entrepreneurs, we're often very fortunate that we get to work every day on things that genuinely light us up from the inside. It just seemed, you know, kind of disingenuous to know that there was this place or space where nobody really had taken the time or opportunity to really engage with people in person. There was lots of places online that did kind of similar things to what I do, but it was still no engagement. Like, no one's asking you the questions. No one's really knowing if you really like it or not. No one's kind of taking the feedback and trying to kind of help you forward in, like, not spending money in ways that you regret. And I think that's the biggest thing about my industry that really hasn't changed much from its inception. Everyone probably listening to this has had some experience with fragrance where they think about it and they feel like, oh my God, that was such a waste of money.
Like, I can't even believe, like, whether you spent $5 or $500, just like, oh, yeah. I would never do that again. And, you know, it's one of the things that I pride myself on, that I'm really happy that people don't have that experience when they work with us. So
Yeah. And I love that too. And I think that personal touch is what is so great about the scented web. I mean, the fact is, like, you can go online. For those of you who do not read the quote unquote ladies magazines, just so you know, you can pick up a magazine at the newsstand, or you can go on to like a Cosmo website or something like that. And they'll have, there are actually a ton of fragrance quizzes out there. Right. Yes. And they're going to ask you, like, do you like floral notes? Do you like clean and crisp? Do you like, you know, eau de toilette or eau de parfum,
Right. But how many people, I mean, unless people are fragrance enthusiasts, how many people even know what that means?
I don't know. You tell me if I like crisp, clean notes.
And so it's one of those things where it also gets back to, you know, this ongoing thread about scent memory. If I say, oh, it smells like vanilla, if you're a fragrance person, that means something totally different to you than a person who has no clue about fragrance. Oh, it smells like vanilla extract.
They're thinking of vanilla extract and a perfumer. A perfumer is thinking of something totally different, and it's a much more complex smell.
Yes. And so a lot of the quizzes, while, you know, they're very fun, I do them all the time.
I do too, actually.
But they often are talking about things that people really don't relate to in their everyday life.
They're a lot of fun, but they're not extremely useful.
There are tons of fun. And I love the ones that say, tell us about your signature scent so we can tell you how, you know, what kind of person you are in the bedroom, or what kind of boss you are in the office place. I was like, I didn't know. Yeah. But thanks for telling me. And I think the other thing is that gets back to the overwhelm that people feel. You know, when they go to the department store, you're staring at a wall of like 150 fragrances. How do you make sense of that? Like the bottles are cute, and then the bottles can sometimes be confusing. You know, I love, there's a scent called by Carolina Herrera called Good Girl. If anyone's ever been in a store, it looks like a high heel shoe.
Oh, that's fun.
It is. It's really cute. But here's the thing. They're all like high heel shoes. Every version that comes out looks like a high heel shoe. It's just a different color. So if you were a person who walked into the store and said, hey, I really like that fragrance that my son got for me last Christmas. It looked like a high heel shoe. Which one? Which one did they give you? Did they give you the right one? Did they give you the one you really loved? If you couldn't remember the name, like, those kinds of conversations just are hard for consumers. And I don't think people kind of, it's nice to have that signature, and it's nice to have that thing where people know that's your brand. But for a person about to spend $160 on a bottle of perfume, they want to make sure they got the right one. And so this is where having more gentle conversations that are based, assuming that you know nothing about fragrances. Yeah. If you do, then the conversations, you know, with me get really hilariously fun, because then we start talking about notes and signatures and all of this. But for people who just genuinely want to buy something and smell good, that's where we start. We don't want people to feel overwhelmed. We want there to be joy. Joy is a birthright, and this should be a part of that. Like, you should be able to just smell good. just enjoy it and live
just
in
uncomplicated.
It. Uncomplicated.
Trade on, feel better,
trade on,
feel good.
Trade on. Yes, that is the goal.
Yeah. Well, so talk to us about the business side of things again. Like, what are some of the challenges that you have come up against? And you and I have actually had conversations about this as well. Like, some areas of opportunity for the scented web. You know, it's a relatively new business. I'm not going to say super new, but
no, we just had our first anniversary, so we're trudging along. I will say that one of the biggest areas of opportunity for us, and one that I work really hard at, is sourcing. We are a disruptor to our industry. Our industry wants you to buy a full bottle. They want you to commit. They want to get married on day one, right? And so sourcing, to be able to provide people with the opportunity to try before they buy, is a difficulty because, you know, the brands are not necessarily interested in that model. And so that has been a consistent area of growth and opportunity for us. The other is one that I don't think many people think of if they're not entrepreneurs or business owners, but I am one of those rare businesses where I have to give away stuff to get you to buy it.
Yeah.
That is a value prop that is not particularly attractive to investors.
Sure.
But it's the nature of my business. Could you imagine you walking up to me and me just showing you a pretty bottle and saying, "Hey, just buy it. It smells great." That wouldn't work, right? People who sell t-shirts can just kind of point to the wall and be like, "Do you want a blue or a red, medium or extra large?" But in my business, I really do have to have these intimate conversations about something that people feel really strongly and passionately about. And I have to give it to them before they commit. And as a small business owner, that can be particularly challenging because you are sometimes taking a little bit of a gamble. You know, you do the cost analysis to one extent, but you can never know what someone's going to like or not like based on the conversation, you know, we've previously had about people being very specific about what they love. And so
yeah,
those are two of the biggest challenges.
Well, and you said that, you know, there are aspects of your business model that investors don't necessarily like, mm-hmm. which, you know, I think every entrepreneur has to figure out how to make their value prop palatable for investors.
Yes. Yes.
But are you seeking outside investment right now? Talk to us a little bit about that. What are the plans?
Yeah, we definitely have made it more palpable by, you know, part of it is just people not realizing this is a thing.
Yeah.
Like, yes, this is the thing. And there's companies earning millions of dollars doing this thing. I swear to you, it's a real thing. It's a real job, Mom, I swear. And then the second thing is, yeah, we are seeking, you know, collaborators, partners, and potentially investors. I think, you know, as we grow, there's plans on the horizon for store placement. We currently are in two boutiques in the area. And we also do a lot of partnerships with other brands. I think that has been one of the more unique things that we've done in the first year, that is not typically, as you're building, people aren't necessarily saying, "Yes, let me go out and get a brand partner." But
yeah,
it was very organic and happened very naturally and has helped accelerate the growth of the business. So that's been awesome. I think one of the real key indicators of what has been a shift, you know, going into year two is how much that customer service component has mattered to customers.
Yeah.
You know, consultations are always something that we have offered from the very beginning, but the growth of that and the amount of return investment and return customers that have come from those conversations has been, you know, it exceeded every plan that was on paper when this business started. And so that is something that we are definitely actively exploring and seeking financial backing to do.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, it's a very complex process. Now, I'm going to ask you to, we're going to back it up a little bit. We're going to take the 10,000 foot view.
Yes.
And I'm really, really curious, you know, you have experienced growth in a time when it was always difficult to have a startup and have it grow and be successful. And in fact, 50% of startups fail before the end of the first 2 years, and you're already halfway through it. And you're continuing forward and moving on. And so I want to ask you, can you give the entrepreneurs out there, maybe, you know, not everybody's going to start a scent related business. Not everyone is going to start, you know, the scented web, but what are some things that you've learned? What is some advice that you could give to them beyond just keep going? I mean, first of all, that's my advice.
Oh, yeah, that's,
just
yeah.
keep going. Just keep going, going, going. Like, it's going to suck. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be the best thing that you ever do that makes you feel like beating your head against a wall.
Yes.
But just keep going. So that's my advice. But what's your advice to the entrepreneurs out there who are maybe thinking of starting a business or who are in the very early stages?
I think one of, you know, it's one of the tried and true tropes that people say about when you run a business, but one of the things that has been the most helpful to me is the community around me. I am new to Kansas City, new-ish, I guess I should say. And starting a business in a town where this isn't your hometown, or you haven't lived here long enough to kind of know everything about the town, take some wherewithal, right?
Yeah, it does.
And so building community of whether it be fellow entrepreneurs, whether it be looking out for resources to support your business is a critical and key component. The advice that I would give is probably a little more unexpected. It's really before you start, like even with the idea in your head, before you commit $1 to this business, ask yourself your why. And not the why of I want to bring fragrances to people because it's affordable, I love fragrances and I want to do it. Ask yourself the question of why you want to do this and how committed you are to it. Because there are going to be days where that why is going to be the only thing that gets you out of bed in the morning.
Yep.
There are days when it's going to be your bank account is not showing any positive yeah. reinforcement. The last show was garbage. Your inventory didn't show up on time. Your bottles yep. arrived broken. And you're going to have to say, oh my God, as I sit here with the snot bubble, why am I doing this? If you have the answer ready.
Yeah.
My answer sits on my bathroom mirror. I see it every morning to remind me of why. And if you can have that why, a lot of the rest of the stuff kind of just works itself out. I'm not saying it works itself out easily. Like this isn't a Pollyanna story, but it does work itself out in a way where you get the, let's call it the steam to keep the engine going. Like you're like, okay, I know why. And I just got to yep. be patient. And then the best advice is a little more, you know, it's a faith belief for me. What's meant for me is mine, right? Yep. Like, so there's going to be days where things
go. Mantras. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
The other one is who is for me is for me and for me. Fuck everybody yeah. else. Those are my two yeah. mantras.
Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of it is especially in this culture, you look at Instagram and you look at, you know, what you might see in a business journal, and you see people who are doing things and you're like, well, how did they manage to do that? The attraction to comparison is so like present that, you know, you sit and you look at all of this and you're like, well, why am I not doing better? Or why is it not going the way that I planned? Or why can't I find these things? And, you know, these are valid questions. Don't let anybody make you believe that you're thinking these things are invalid. But where the problem is they're not you.
Yeah.
They're not you. They're not going to do it the way you do it. Your path is not going to be their path. While there may be some things that have similar steps and moments and milestones, yours is going to be totally different. And so once you kind of divorce yourself from that comparison and just kind of stand in the shoes of where you are and what you're trying to do and your why, like staying in your own lane just gets so much easier. For me, we've been in business for a very short time. And when I sat at the end of the year and had to do all of that, you know, let's look back on the year and see what we did. I look back on the list of what we did. And there are businesses who have been in business 15 times longer than me who haven't done any of that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that is a you know, that looking back on it, if you had asked me a year ago, well, what are you going to be able to say you did in a year? I wouldn't have put half the things on the list. You just never know. And so leave yourself open to the possibility of what's for you. Like leave yourself open to it. Like leave yourself open to, oh my goodness, there could be so much on the other side of this fear and insecurity and comparison and doubt. If I just stick to my why and then I stick to my business mission, let's see what happens. And I'm telling you, the let's see what happens, at least in my experience, always is better than what I thought it would be. Yep. Always better than what I thought it would be. So that would be my advice.
You look back on those hard times and it's like, okay, did that suck? Absolutely. But there's a point of pride that comes yeah. about. Like I challenged that demon and I won. And
we lost all our bottles.
Yeah.
In the first 8 weeks, we ordered bottles and we waited for them and we were slow, you know, watching the tracking, like they're coming. It's going to be great. Awesome. And what we got was a box of glass confetti. The bottles were broken.
No.
And ultimately, you know, you're a new business. You don't have a lot of capital. You're looking at the thing that you need to sell the thing that you sell. Like, this is not a, oh my God, I wish it had curved out this way. This is the, what are we putting the juice in if there's no bottles?
Yeah.
And so we, And so we bought replacement bottles because we had to. Like, we had commitments. We had shows scheduled. We had to get it out. So, okay, we'll buy these cheaper, not so great, not very attractive replacement bottles. We'll make them pretty. We'll gussy them up. The replacement bottles have been the bottles for the last 8 months. The replacement bottles are the bottles that are the bottles.
And you know what? They work. Like,
and they work.
You made the whole thing work. And like, that's
the point. You got to get past it. You got to get past it. And it's not because there was not a moment where I sat literally with a box between my legs, just looking down at it. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, literally, yeah. Like, this is what it's going to come to. Like, we're not even out of the gate yet. And we don't have bottles.
As an entrepreneur, you're going to have countless moments like that.
Just
where you're
like,
is this where
exactly.
I stop? Like, is this where I just throw in the towel? And it's like, right. No, because the entrepreneurial spirit within us dictates that we're problem solvers, we're creators, yeah. We're makers, we're dreamers. And so just keep going.
You're moving forward with experience. And that's the part right. That, I mean, it's a lesson. And they sometimes hurt a little, but that doesn't mean that good can't come from it.
Absolutely. Well, Victoria, we have come up against the human question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So I was going to ask you one that was related to scent. And then I was like, no, I don't typically ask human questions that are related to the conversation that we just had. Plus you have peppered this entire podcast with awesome like scents and names to look out for and things. To,
yes.
So I'm not going to ask that question. The question okay. I'm going to ask you is mm-hmm. what movie, and try to just pick one, but if you mention a couple, no big deal, but okay. what movie can you watch time and time and time again and still love every time?
Okay, so I will say three.
Okay.
I will say the popular choice that everybody will nod their head to and say, yeah, I could do that. So that would be Shawshank Redemption. I can watch okay. that over and over and over and over.
It's a super intense movie, though. I love that movie.
It's one of those things that if it pops up on TNT, it's just going to be on till the end. I'm just going to leave it. Just going to watch right. it. then the second one is one that probably no one's ever watched, but literally I could watch it every day and never tired of it. It's a French movie called Amelie. It's just a very sweet love story, and it just always puts me in a more romantic and hopeful mood, and I just love that movie. So, that movie, like you just said, you weren't going to ask me about a scent related thing, but like literally, you can smell that movie. You can smell that movie.
The atmosphere is so beautiful. Now, yeah, so friends who have not seen it, it is in French.
It is in French with subtitles.
It is such a delightful, quirky little joke. Yes. Like, so weird. And I just love watching it because it's like hopeful weird. I don't know.
You cannot leave that movie watching her on the end on that bike and just not feel triumphant about how you got
the spoilers.
That's not a spoiler. She's just on a bike. You don't know.
All right, she's on a bike.
and then the third one is kind of a weird choice of movies that you could watch over and over again. But there is something about Aladdin, the original version.
The animated version?
The original animated version. You know, I think what it is especially as an entrepreneur, it's one of those movies that somebody had to get over themselves, right? Like Aladdin was in this movie and, you know, you got these three wishes, like do what you're going to do with it. And like literally he had to make a decision about where he stood in the world. And I feel like it's one of those messages. It's one of those movies with a message that you don't realize until after you watch it, that it has a message. That is definitely another one that I watch quite a bit. Oh, wait a minute. And I left a big one out. It's a Robin Williams. It's another Robin Williams movie because he made me remember.
Wait, is it Good Will Hunting?
It is.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it until I said his name. But yeah, that's an honorable mention. I could definitely not watch that one. But yeah, Aladdin.
All right. Well, I'm with you on Aladdin. So I read somewhere the Disney director mm-hmm. they actually had hours upon hours. They basically just let Robin Williams as the genie
just go and
like improv through the whole thing. And so there are like hours and hours and hours of Robin Williams as genie.
Yes.
We need
that release. We need that release.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Victoria, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. I loved learning more about your business. I hope you listeners did as well, but it has been a delight to talk to you, friend.
Thank you so much for this opportunity and continued success to you and Startup Hustle. This is great.
Awesome. Well, something else that is great, friends, if you need to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders, FullScale can help. They have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit fullscale.io, all you need to do is answer a few questions and then let the platform match you up with fully vetted, highly experienced software engineers, testers, and leaders. At FullScale, they specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit fullscale.io or check the link in the show notes to learn more. All right, friends, we are so, so grateful that you come back to us week after week and listen. We love telling founder stories, and I'm going to ask you what I generally ask at the end of an episode. Tell us what you want to hear. Go to startuphustle.xyz, suggest a guest. We would love to meet more founders and figure out how to get into new markets. We want to know the topics that you want us to talk about. We do this show for founders. This is a show by founders for founders. And we do this for you. We want to give you relevant, useful, timely information. So just let us know. Go to startuphustle.xyz, make your suggestions. You can also find us on social channels, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. Keep an eye out for those channels as well and just give us your feedback. We want to cover what you want us to cover. Again, we are just so grateful that you keep coming back to listen to us week after week. Keep on doing it, and we'll catch you next time.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by FullScale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.